gadget. Comes in a pretty little box. You don't know what it is till you pull it out. But this is something that fathers can use on your children. I don't know if you realize that or not, but you can use this on your kids. So you thought this was a tire gauge. No. So you can use this to check where your kids are, and if they're too inflated, you can deflate them a little bit, okay? You can let some of the air out a little bit. Help them be humble. Help them learn. But this is just a reminder that we are to be gauges. We are to be checking our kiddos and making sure that all is well with them. So that's a part of what we're supposed to do. So men, be sure and get you one of these before you leave this morning. And also the little fellas as well. There's one for everybody. The text this morning that was read is obviously dealing with the children of Israel following their release from captivity. They had been given the law. They have gone through 40 years of wilderness wandering, and now they've come to the edge of the Jordan River, and Moses is retelling the law. He's rehearsing the entire law with them one more time. And then, of course, we know that Moses will be leaving them, going up to the mountain where he will die, and God himself will bury Moses. This is the only case in Scripture where God actually buried someone. That's kind of interesting to me. But anyway, this is a significant passage of Scripture, as it gives a very good synopsis of the relationship that man should have with his heavenly Father. Now today, we want to honor all of those of you who are fathers. Today we also especially want to honor all of our fathers who helped us to become what we are today. But I want to begin this sermon by looking at Jesus. He was never a father and never will be a father. But there is a way in which he is like every father that ever lived. Jesus came to show us God and to teach us God's will for us. He is our prophet. In Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is our prophet. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He is our priest. In Hebrews 10, verse 11 through 14, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. This is referring back to the duties of the priests under the law of Moses. Says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting until his enemies shall make his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus is making intercession for us. He is our priest. And Jesus is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the head of his church. He is our king. And the mysterious book of Revelation names Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Jesus is our king. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is our king. These three offices, great as they are, were delegated to our Lord by God, the Heavenly Father. To the church, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. In the family, in all of life, Jesus serves as our pattern of doing the right thing. He is our teacher. He is our example of what to do and how to do it. I know we're familiar with the passage from Ephesians 5:25, where Paul admonishes husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so in this we see an undeniable parallel between Jesus Christ and man as a husband. Is there a parallel relationship for man's role as a father? I think there is. It stands parallel. When you think of man's relationship as father in the home, there is a parallel to the same relationship Jesus has to the church, specifically as a prophet and a priest and a king. Now let me explain what I mean by all that. What is the role of a prophet? What does a prophet do? Well, a prophet is a foreteller and a forth-teller. What does that mean? Well, the implication is that a prophet will tell two things. He tells what's going to happen, and then he will declare what is, or he is a declarer of truth. So he both foretells and forth-tells, or tells forth. Now, first of all, look at foretelling. Should fathers be able to foretell the future? Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. I'm not talking about crystal balls and tarot cards or whatever they... I don't know how to say that. That's that French thing. I'm not talking about that sort of mumbo jumbo. I'm talking about being able to foretell the future. Can you predict and tell me what's going to happen? Yes, you most certainly can. Boy, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Is that true? Well, you know it's true. Well, how do you know it's true? Because you've been there. You've been there. You see, sometimes foretelling is simply stating the obvious, stating something that you may know that the other person doesn't yet know. It's obvious to the wise and the experienced, but not so obvious to the young and those lacking the scars, okay? The scars that come with experience. Foretelling is the ability to see what will happen because you've been there, done that. Or you know what has happened to others and you've learned from their mistakes and from the choices that they have made. See, foretelling is the ability of to apply mature judgment and to predict the outcome before it happens. Let me illustrate this, because if you understand this, you can save yourself and your children from a world of grief, okay? Father says to the teenager, now boy, if you get drunk or high on drugs and you get out there driving a car under such a condition, you can kill yourself, you can kill someone else, you can maim yourself or someone else, you can cause unimaginable grief to yourself, to us, and to the family of the person you hit. Now, is that not foretelling the future? Is that not foretelling? You're talking about what will happen if this happens. Parent says, you know, if you run around with the wrong crowd, you're going to eventually regret it. It may even ruin your life. See? There's just a certain ability that we have as mature adults to convey wisdom to those that are lacking such experience and knowledge. And that is foretelling, folks. It is a father's responsibility to warn his children by way of predicting what will happen if they go a certain way, if they do a certain thing. Here's what's going to happen. We understand cause and effect. We understand sowing and reaping. We have a comprehension of that. But a lot of our younger ones, and even some of the younger adults, don't yet grasp it. And so the wisdom of the ages should speak out. And it is a father's responsibility to practice foretelling, okay? You know, much of the book of Proverbs is predicting probable outcomes from certain behaviors. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a good positive one, right? But there's others. A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. If you spare the rod, you hate your son, but if you love him, you will chasten him often. There is a lot of wisdom to be found in the book of Proverbs. And you know, fathers, a great thing for you to do is read the entire book of Proverbs to your children repeatedly. read from them that from that book, read to them from that book, and explain it to them. Express to them what it is teaching and help them to understand, and you will save them a world of grief. If you ever had to learn a lesson the hard way, then you're certainly in a good position to prophesy to your children. All right? Now, obviously you don't have to experience everything in order to know what's right from wrong. The scriptures will provide the instruction that you need. And this brings us to the other side of being a prophet, and that is a forth teller. A teller forth. See, in the New Testament, the prophet or evangelist declares God's message to the church. How does such a role impact what a father does in the family? He's doing the same thing. It is expected that fathers, as prophets, spread the word of God, tell the word of God to their families, to those in their family, to come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for them to come to an understanding of what God requires of them in order for them to be able to go to heaven. It is the responsibility of father to make sure his children know the Lord. They have to be taught to know the Lord. And so if you're going to be successful, if you're going to fulfill God's expectations for you as fathers, then you have to be involved in the role of forth teller or proclaimer of God's message. In essence, you are presenting God's ways and God's character to your families. Look again at the text in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look with me again at that passage. A couple of highlights. Okay? He says in verse 2, you need to fear the Lord, keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you, to you, your son, and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your life or your days may be prolonged. Be careful to observe all that I've told you, that it may be well with you. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. At every opportunity, talk about the Lord with your children. Instill in them the faith that you have as you trust in God. Instill in your children the need that they have for that close relationship with God. This is part of that responsibility that we have as fathers to teach our children. When we and our children are walking in and enjoying God's promises, then, if we've done our homework as fathers, if we've done what we're supposed to do, we will be careful not to forget the one who gave those promises and the blessings that go with those promises. And we will remember that we all have everything we have as a result of God's grace and God's love. And we will remember that God is the one that's the origin of our life. And He is the one that's the destination of all that we are and all we ever will be. And if we want our children to remain faithful and not to drift away when they're older, as Stan was talking about some in Bible class this morning, then we will use all the resources at our disposal to ensure that our children know the Lord and that they know His Word. And folks, there's a lot of you whose children are grown, you have grandchildren, and many with great-grandchildren. Let me tell you something. Your instruction as a prophet does not end when your children become adults. Are you listening? It does not end when your children become adults. Young adults can still benefit from their parents' wisdom and experience and understanding of God's Word. And from there, from the example of faith that you are setting, the example of faith that you display toward God will be an inspiration for them, for years to come. So just because your kiddos have grown up and have kiddos of their own, you're continuing to be a foreteller and a forth-teller. Continue as a prophet for your family. Second, this parallel goes on to being that of a priest. What's the job of a priest? Well, as our high priest, Jesus offered up a sacrifice for our sins, and that sacrifice was his own life. He offered up a sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself, and he continues to make intercession for us. And that's one thing a priest does. The priest is the go-between between God and God's people. In the Old Testament, it was the job of the priests to represent God before their community. In the locations where away from the temple, there would be priests that were scattered throughout all the 12 tribes of Israel. There were technically 13 tribes of Israel. Technically, 13 tribes. The 13th one, of course, would be the tribe of Levi that was scattered among all the other 12 tribes. And the job of these Levites that became priests was to offer sacrifices for the people and as to act as a go-between between man and between God. That was the job of the priest. That was his job. Well, the father is the one that is the spiritual leader of his home. He is the one that's been charged with making intercession for his children. What was it that Job did on a daily basis? He offered sacrifices for his children, didn't he? Now they're grown. They're grown kids. They're grown adults. And he offered sacrifices for them on a daily basis, lest any of them had sinned. We offer our prayers to God for our children, don't we? We pray for our children every day. And we should. We should pray for our children every day. That God will keep them safe, that God will help them to grow, that God will provide them opportunities for success, that God will bless them and deliver them from evil and keep them safe from harm. We should pray for our children on a daily basis. We're making intercession for them. And that's what a priest does. As a father, not only do you make intercession, but you also sacrifice for your children. You sacrifice. How do you do that? Well, you know, fathers do not have the freedom to do just anything and everything they could do before they had the responsibility of a family. Now, Stan used to have an SS Super Sport. I found out about this thing. Oh, yeah. I'm learning stuff about him that I'm going to use from time to time. So today, I'm just going to tell you that Stan started out with a Super Sport, and it was white, and it was fast, and his foot, well, he's got a big foot, so it was heavy. And he'd move that car up and down the road pretty good. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I know you didn't know that about him. But you know, after those children came, he married Allison, and they had a good time as young and all this. But when those boys started coming along, Stan now drives a Suburban. No more Super Sport. You trade in that little two-seater sports car for a sedan or an SUV. A sedan. My tongue is tangled this morning. I got it over my eye teeth, and I can't see what I'm saying, so y'all just have to pardon my pronunciations. But you trade in that little sports car for something a lot more practical, don't you? Or sometimes you work a second job to make sure you can provide for your family based on what the need is. Or you do without that new bass boat or that expensive truck that you wanted to buy for yourself. You sacrifice. And folks, there's nothing wrong with these things and with having these things. But your family comes before your wants and your needs. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God made it. The other obvious way that a man serves as a priest is by continuing, as I said a moment ago, in prayer for his family, seeking God's blessings and his protection, but he has to have faith in God to be able to do that. So there's the sacrifice of praise, there's the sacrifice of personal possessions or desires, and there is also the sacrifice of prayer, a prayer of faith. And so we continue to serve in that respect as a priest. There are there's an example in Scripture of fathers exercising their faith on behalf of their families. And that's what we're doing when we're praying for our children. We're praying in faith. We know, according to James, that if you don't pray in faith, you're not going to receive what you've asked for. You have to pray in faith. But in the first Passover, back in Exodus chapter 12, what was the father's job? Well, first of all, he had to kill the sacrificial lamb. He had to sprinkle its blood and spread its blood over the door of the home on the post atop the lintel and the two side posts. He had to put the blood on there in order to protect his entire family. A father's faith and his faithfulness will do wonders for his family. There's another New Testament example. You've heard me preach about this, but it's found in Mark chapter 9, where the father of the demon-possessed boy brings him to Jesus, and he says, "If you can do anything, Jesus, if you can do anything." Now, I could see Jesus, he had the right to be insulted. I don't believe he was. I think Jesus had more self-control than to be insulted. But he could have been. Why, have you not been seeing the miracles? Why would you bring him to me if you didn't already believe that I could do miracles? You know, what's wrong with you, man? Where's your faith? But Jesus didn't say that. He simply asked him a question. He says to the man, "If you can believe, all things are possible." You see, the child's deliverance hinged upon his father's faith. And the father said, "I believe, but I'm doubting too. Help my unbelief." I love that, because all of us have our doubts and we have our fears, but we're trying to believe and we're trying to serve the Lord. We're trying to be faithful to Him. A father has both the right and the responsibility to believe for his children until they can believe for themselves. He has the right and the responsibility to lead his family to God, to show them the way to God, both by the instruction, by the wisdom, and by His intercession for them, the sacrifices that He makes for them. And the third and final point this morning is the father in the home exercises a role as a prophet and as a priest, but also as that of a king, in that he is to govern his family as the head of the house. We know that this is not some pompous potentate position. He's not this high overlord sitting on a throne and everybody has to serve him. That's not the way it works. He is a king like Jesus is a king, who took a towel, laid aside his outer garments, wrapped a towel around himself, and got down and washed the feet of his disciples, including the traitor who would betray him, including the feet of Peter who would deny him, the feet of everyone who would run away from him in his hour of need. That's the kind of king that a father is supposed to be. A king who serves. A king who will sacrifice. And a king who will lead the people, whether they want to go or not. It was discussed this morning about children being allowed to do what they want to do, decide if they want to go to church or not. Everybody listen to this. Faye and I moved here from Indianapolis 23 years ago. We had a family up there. I can tell you who they were. The last name was Yates. They're good people, but lousy parents. Lousy parents. They had a 10-year-old boy. He didn't want to go to church. So they just let him stay home. They let him stay home. They would get ready. They'd come on to church. They had a 10-year-old boy. He didn't want to go to church. So they just let him stay home. And this became a routine. This became a practice. And he was home. And every now and then he'd come to church if he felt like it. But they let the boy stay home. Now, I don't know whatever happened to him, but I feel pretty sure in saying he's not going to church. I feel pretty sure about it, that he's not going to church. You see, they might make him take a bath. They might make him sit down and eat his vegetables. They might make him go to school. They might make him do his homework, but they wouldn't make him go to church. What is wrong with that kind of thinking? There's just There's something messed up about that. When the children are in charge at home, it's chaos, and it's a recipe for total disaster. Do not, parents, young and old, do not let your children rule. And do not let them think that they are in charge. Make sure they know who's in charge. And it's not even you. It's God. They need to know that God is the one that's in charge, folks. They need to know that. Father is a king. We're talking this genuine leadership. It means taking risks. It means living with the consequences and making hard decisions. It's about taking the initiative. Everything that's involved in being a leader. You know, one of the qualifications of being an elder in the church, Paul says that he's got to be one who rules well his own house. This is a noble aspiration for every single one of us to do. You see, the home is the proving ground for the life and for ministry and serving the Lord, for every man and every woman. And let's face it, if our religion does not work at home, it doesn't work. Are you listening? If it doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. We may have achieved great success in business, in popularity. We may have a membership at the country club. We may be president of the bank or of some service organization. We may be the world's greatest hunter or achieve some impressive golf score. But does it really matter? Is that what really counts? Is that how God will measure our success when there's nothing left to count? How we stand as the world looks at us? Or did we lead our families? Did we lead our families? I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But this one thing, I have just got to be successful as these little fellas' dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. And there are things that I'd accomplish before my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide these little lads and make myself successful as those little fellas' dad. Oh, I may never come to glory, and I may never gather gold, and men may count me a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after me be godly, then I'll be glad, because I'll know I've been successful as those little fellas' dad. It's the job that I most dream of. It's the task I think of most. For if I fail these little fellas, I have nothing else to boast. For the wealth and fame I'd gather, all my fortunes would be sad if I failed to be successful as those little fellas' dad. This is your most important job as a father. Help your family get to heaven. It is so important that we simply have to get it right the first time, because there will not be a second opportunity. Men, whether you are now a father or ever will be one, the message still rings true. Use your example, influence, and life experience to share God's love with those around you. Help your family go to heaven, and help those around you do the same. Show them all how to live here, how to serve and praise God's name. So when we finally get to heaven, with our loved ones there to dwell, we will know we did our duty and we had a life that was lived well. Happy Father's Day. It may be that someone here today is not ready to meet God. It may be that someone here today is not a Christian. You need to obey the gospel. You need to become a child of God. Do you believe in Jesus enough to surrender all, give Him your life, give Him control of your life? Then repent. Turn away from sin. Turn away from doing wrong and commit yourself to doing that which is right. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be baptized in water let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. Be raised up to walk in newness of life as a child of God. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, you've allowed sin to dwell in your life, turn away from the sin, confess to God your sin, and pray to God. He will forgive you. He will restore you. And if you need the prayers of the church on any matter, without delay, we want to encourage you to come as we stand and sing.